This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. It's so confusing. You're told, get a good education. It's the key to a good job. You want to be a part of the prosperous growth economy that you hope is in all of our futures, right? But you took out a loan to get that veterinarian's degree or ancient Greek literature, be a rocket scientist, master's in Italian poetry of the Middle Ages. For their college majors, Americans owe $1.4 trillion in total student loan debt, according to the Federal Reserve. That's spread across more than 44 million borrowers. So, could someone out there, overwhelmed with student debt, be about to crash into insolvency and bring the rest of the global economy with them?
This is John in Philadelphia. Right now, my wife and I are paying back our grad school loan, and our interest rate is 6.9%, which is set by the federal government. We have excellent credit, but for some reason can't refinance at a lower rate, and despite the fact that I can never discharge this debt in bankruptcy, which makes it one of the least risky loans ever, I'm going to wind up paying about $70,000 more over the life of this loan because Congress won't set the rate at the same level that banks enjoy when they borrow from each other.
Okay, some reality on what turns out to be a very serious question. In 2016, the average grad held a little more than $37,000 in student debt. That's a 6% increase from 2015. The value of a higher education in this country is hard to argue with, but easy credit, rising tuition costs, and aggressive lenders are amounting to what may be an insurmountable task of paying that loan off. Down in the fine print of your own student loans, you may find the name Navient. They are the largest student loan provider in the country, and they've been accused of some very serious allegations, pushing borrowers into inadvisable borrowing practices and profiting off of private loans that were designed to fail. Navient has denied all wrongdoing, and they sent us a comment, which you can read in its entirety on our website. But the bubble question, and the even more important question of have you been pushed into going into more debt than you can handle, these questions are something our next guest can certainly handle. Betsy Mayotte is Director of Consumer Outreach and Compliance at the 60-year-old American Student Assistance Organization, a nonprofit that has been helping students since the 1950s. Betsy, welcome to The Takeaway.
Hi there.
One in four borrowers, in theory, could be affected by Navient's practices. You know, how do you know if you're someone who may be sitting on a Navient loan that some others have described as predatory?
Well, there's two different lawsuits here, and I want to make sure that we designate between the two. The one that was filed in January by the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau deals almost exclusively with federal student loans. And that is a much bigger population than the private student loan market, which is what the more recent lawsuit that was filed by the Illinois and Washington Attorneys General, I believe that was filed in March. So, you know, the most important thing is for a consumer to understand what kind of loans they have. And there's a really easy way to find that out. There's a website called the National Student Loan Data System. That website will list all of a borrower's federal student loans, who holds them, and what status they're in. If the borrower is trying to determine if they have private loans, the best way to find that out is through their credit report. And their credit report will also tell them who holds them. And at that point, they can tell whether they have a loan that was from Sallie Mae or Navient or not.
And in the case of these lawsuits and in some of the charges here that Navient was predatory, I mean, it wouldn't make sense for Navient to sign people up for loans that they really can't pay back. How does Navient profit from a scheme which actually might send students and borrowers into bankruptcy at some point?
So, and that's what the big allegation is in the lawsuit by the Illinois and Washington Attorneys General's offices, is that it's alleged that Sallie Mae made loans that they knew were going to have a high default rate. These would be private student loans. And what they're claiming is that Sallie Mae did this in order to obtain access to the federal loan volume that also went through these particular institutions.
Now, you advise students, right, about, you know, the kinds of borrowing options that would be good for them, would be bad for them, the kinds of things that they should look at, right?
That's right.
So what do you define as a predatory loan practice that's basically taking advantage of a poor student that wants to go to a particular college but maybe doesn't have the capacity to actually pull it off.
Well, you know, I think, again, this comes down to consumer education. Anytime anyone is choosing a college and choosing a degree or certificate program to pursue, they should understand what the salary potential is once they complete that program. There's some great tools that are available today that weren't available as early as 3, 4, 5 years ago when the allegations in these lawsuits took place. These tools allow consumers to look at an institution and even as far down at the program level and look at the percentage of students that complete that program, the percentage of students that tend to default on their student loans, which is an indication that the loan might be unaffordable, and also the average loan debt. So we tell all consumers that are considering pursuing higher education of any kind is to look at the average starting salary in the career that they're pursuing and compare it and do a budget based on the average loan debt for students in that program in their school of choice. You know, as to whether a loan is predatory, I'm not an attorney, so it's difficult for me to define that from a legal sense. But, you know, again, I think families count on schools to be a trusted agent in guiding them in what a good loan product might be. Thankfully, there's some fairly new regulations that came into place right around 2008 that made sure that when schools do recommend a lender, whether it be a private loan product or another type of financial instrument, that there's no inducement or quid pro quo in that relationship. So I think things are a lot more transparent for consumers today than maybe they were back then.
This is really important and useful information. And we should note once again that Navient denies any wrongdoing. But I'm just thinking flashback here. 2008, countrywide predatory loan practices in real estate. All of a sudden the bubble bursts and we have a recession. Could this controversy bring on a bubble in the student loan economy? And could it affect the rest of the economy? It's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money. There's a big difference, though, between mortgages and student loan products. There's definitely a parallel that we see with the allegations in the Illinois and Washington Attorney General's complaints and what we saw in the mortgage crisis in, you know, the mid-2000s. The difference between those two products, however, is that with a mortgage, there's collateral, which is the home. It's not good for the consumer, but there's the opportunity for the lenders to receive their funds back when they resell that collateral. Student debt, you can't repossess in education. Now, the federal loan programs are by far the majority of the student debt that's out there. And what we've seen in the past 10 years are multiple income-driven repayment plans being offered to federal student loan borrowers to ensure that not only the loans remain affordable because they're based on the student's income and their family size, but also there's a light at the end of the tunnel in the form of forgiveness. There's 4 or 5 income-driven plans that if you make payments under those plans for 20 or 25 years, any remaining balance is forgiven. There's also the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program, where anyone with federal student debt who works for a government or nonprofit employer has the potential to have their debt forgiven after 10 years. So I think that's what makes the two things a little different, and I don't think we have necessarily that type of bubble economic risk associated with it.
Betsy Mayotte is Director of Consumer Outreach and Compliance at American Student Assistance. Thanks so much for all that information.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You're talking about this at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
This is John Hughes from DeLand, and the fact that I have to have credit-shattering debt just to get an education is itself an affront to human decency.
Tecoria Jones, Columbia, South Carolina. On income-based repayment, by their calculations, I can pay $0. Try to buy a house. Can't get a home loan because I don't pay on the student loan. Really?
This is Ann from Minneapolis. When you get disabled as an adult and you have student loans, there is a provision within the student loan law that they are to be forgiven. Sallie Mae, otherwise known as Navient, does not always provide for that. And I applied for forgiveness in 2007, 2008, 2009. Navient finally did forgiveness, but I found out a year later it was only half of my loans that were included.
Again, 877-8-MY-TAKE. This is The Takeaway.